Welcome to Classic Comedy of Old Time Radio. I'm your host, Ron Eckelbarger. Here we go with the Pepsodent Show, starring Bob Hope. This is episode number 309, and it originally aired on October 1st, 1946. Here now is Bob Hope with his special guest, Bing Crosby.
With his guest star, Bing Crosby. Thank you. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob, American Legion Convention Hope, telling all you Legionnaires, as you wrestle with the world's blunders and bobbles, remember there's nothing like Pepsodent to halt those lower plate wobbles. Well, here I am at the World American Legion Convention. Yes, sir, I passed the physical. And I came in with the first Red Cross unit. American Legion Convention, that's a group of men taking a few days off for life, happiness, and liberty of pursuit. Of course, there are some married men here, too. Yes, sir, but it's a great time, and I won't say these Legionnaires are flying, but it's the first time I ever saw a San Francisco cop directing traffic from the top of the mark. And when 12 o'clock came last night, San Francisco couldn't roll up the sidewalks. The Legionnaires wouldn't tell them where they were. But they're having a great time, and what crowds. I walked out in the street for a cigar, and the next thing I knew, I was third flute in the Austin, Texas Fife and Drum Corps. And the streets are so crowded, the pedestrians are forcing the cars right off the sidewalks. You want to go somewhere, you just step out on the sidewalk and hope the guy under you is going the same place you are. But I'm having a wonderful time. Besides, I can walk just as well with both hips on the same side. I think I was from Pinocchio's or something. That's not in here. Oh, no, 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 please. That's not in here. I made that up on the spur of the writer. And the traffic in the streets is really jammed and squeezed together. A Cadillac went down Market Street today, and by the time it got to Gary, it was a tandem, and the chauffeur was pedaling. And I don't know if the pickpockets are doing a great business or not, but I turned to one guy and said, "Are you trying to lift my wallet?" And he said, "Don't be silly. When they're light enough to lift, I don't bother with them." So crowded in the hotels, I saw Whistler's mother walking down Market Street. She's running out of rocking chair for $5 an hour. And the hotels don't say room and bath. They just ask with or without plasma. I had plenty of trouble getting a room, and I told the clerk I didn't have any place to go, but he contradicted me. But I want to tell you, it's a great convention, and Mayor Lapham made a fine speech to the Legionnaires that echoed the sentiments of everyone in the city. He said, "Put it back." Thank you very much. You're very kind. How about a phone, huh? Hello?
That you, Kilroy? Kilroy? Yeah, say, do me a favor, will you? I'm asking all my friends to be at the Marine Memorial Club tonight and throw rotten tomatoes at Bob Hope. But have a swell time.
Colonna, this is Bob Hope you're talking to.
Oops. Well, care to hear the juicier portions of my resignation?
Colonna, tell me, why are your idiosyncrasies multiplying so rapidly?
They're feeding and weeding.
And why aren't you here for the show tonight?
Well, can't hope. I'm having a ball. I'm out with some Legionnaires. We're playing Ring Around the Rosie.
Professor, don't be silly. Legionnaires wouldn't play a childish game like Ring Around the Rosie.
You don't know Rosie, do you?
Lovely man. You know, Professor, there's a certain gentleman on this program who has spent a lot of his time in the booby hatch.
Do I ring a bell?
No, walk right in. I'll wait up for you.
Well, Colonna, come on over here right away.
Mate, I hope I'm having too much fun here. I'm in the Palace Hotel elevator with a bunch of legionnaires. We're taking turns driving up and down.
Up and down? That's no fun.
Up and down Market Street?
Well, Colonna, stop wasting your time. You're supposed to be here running the exhibit on post-war invention.
I worked hard today, Hope. I just saw one of the new cars, the latest thing in streamlining. No bumpers, no fenders, no doors, no...
Professor, if the car has no doors, how can anyone get into it?
Nobody knows yet. They're all waiting to see how the inventor gets out.
Colonna, you're mad. Why don't you invent something practical?
I have, Hope. Here's my crowning invention, an atomic dandruff remover.
Atomic dandruff remover? Colonna, you don't know anything about atomic power. It's dangerous. Leave it alone.
No, not Hope. I'm a world-famous expert. Uranium Colonna, they call me. Uranium Colonna. I'll sprinkle a few drops in my hair. Uranium now has no cranium.
Poor Miriam, poor Miriam, like they're using Miriam. Sort of thing is foul and no wind smile.
I'm in the mood for love.
Who cares?
Go away.
What for?
Your smile.
Girl, folks, don't be like Miriam, you Miriam.
See how Pepsodent uncovers the natural brilliance of your smile.
Sweet Miriam, neglected using Miriam. So it's in style and the wind file.
I'm in the mood for love.
Oh, boy.
That's great. You're half as
they so, folks, just be like Miriam. You dearie.
And here's our Cinderella girl from St. Paul, ladies and gentlemen. Lovely Carol Richards singing.
I don't know why I love you like I do. I don't know why I just do. I don't know why you thrill me like you do. I don't know why you just do. You never seem to want my romance. The only time you hold me, I don't know why I love you like I do. I don't know why I just do. Like I do. I don't know why I just do. I don't know why you thrill me like you do. I don't know why, but you do. You never seem to want my romance. The only time you hold me is when we're dancing. I don't know why like I do.
Thank you, Desi Arnaz, for a fine assist. Ladies and gentlemen, on this show, we always like to give newcomers a chance when we can. And we also have a soft spot in our hearts for old-timers. People who've had their day, but who sometimes try and make a comeback. So now, I'd like to present that famous singing star of yesteryear, Harry Lillis Crosby, right here.
Thanks, Hopeless. That's a nice way to introduce an old pal. Fine thing. Me, who merely kept you alive in radio, lo, these 9 long years.
You kept me alive in radio?
But of course.
Didn't I furnish the cheese with which they ate the crackers that got in their teeth for your 50 cups to whisk away?
Well, anyway, Helium Hips, we're happy to have you. We're happy to have you here tonight because you really have one of the finest voices this country has ever known. You're a grand guy, a great sportsman, a swell... There must be an easier way to get a Philco radio.
Nice subtle hint. It's subtle for you. I'll see if I can get them to give you a set.
Oh, that'd be nice if you could get one to match the motif of my living room.
Oh, I can't handle that, old man. They are good sets. They don't build them into orange crates.
You know, it still isn't too late to replace you with a crack transcription, you know. But I hear you're returning to the air for the Philco people soon, aren't you, Lard?
Yes, Chiseltena. I'll tell you something, though. Strict confidence. They drove a very hard bargain.
Yes, I hear that you only got half of the president's blood.
Well, they figure I should be able to sell a lot of radios.
Your phonograph records already have.
Back off, spout snout. You're creating a headwind, and it's blowing all the kernels in my face. Cut it out.
Off. Hey, your new show for Philco is scheduled for October the 16th, isn't it?
9 p.m. every Wednesday, Dad.
Oh, well, let's not go too far. Wait a minute. On the other wire, I mean.
Yes.
Thank you.
It's going to be some upper-level etherizing, old boy. High-class stuff. All music nice.
Read this line whenever you can feel like it, will you, please?
This line. This script must have been written underwater or something. I don't see it.
You're going to pull your glasses out sooner or later.
You're in for some strong competition. Is that what you want?
Yeah, anything.
All right.
Don't get flighty, Pudgy.
Pudgy? You got all that trouble to say Pudgy.
You'll be just another tube salesman.
Could be, but I won't sell them door to door like you.
Wait till you read the small print in your contract. Say, you've been away quite a while. Where have you been keeping yourself?
The secret. In hiding.
Hiding? When did they start making mountains that wide?
Get this boy. If you're alluding to my physical deficiencies, old man, it would be wise to remember that people in glass shoulder pads shouldn't throw stones. Take the hanger out of your coat.
You should talk with that egg-stained shroud you're wearing.
You're that wonderful lighter stuff.
Oh, I love that. Salvador Dali's going to hate you. You know that. Tell me, what have you been doing with yourself,
Dave? Oh, I just finished a slight smash, a little film called The Emperor's Waltz.
The Emperor's Waltz? You mean you dance?
Well, it was Crosby and Yolanda for years, you know. Of course I danced.
And what a scene.
Yeah, what a scene.
Holding the lady with one hand and a Texaco lubrication chart with the other. I suppose you play the Emperor, you stockholder.
No. I play an American traveling salesman back around 1900.
Really? And isn't it nice they could get an actor who remembers the period?
Kid about 1900, huh? You were ducking vegetables as a profession at that time yourself.
You're kidding. In 1900, I wasn't even born yet.
That's entirely possible because I understand the stork circled you for 4 years trying to figure out how to get a grip on you. No doubt you've heard that my leading lady in The Emperor's Waltz is none other than the beautiful, talented, and fine actress Joan Fontaine.
Yeah, what a cast. Blunt and Fontaine.
All I have. I don't see Dorothy L'Amour shouting for joy.
What do you mean? I'm a great leading man.
The only time you're leading is when it's payday at Paramount.
I know the shortcuts.
It's just your excuse for going through the girls' dressing room.
You're just mad because I got a peek at your bloomers.
All sneaky.
You know, I just finished a picture, too. It's called My Favorite Brunette.
My Favorite Brunette?
Yep.
Your life story, huh?
He can't just grow old gracefully. He's got to get mean, too. Boy, but what love scenes I did. Whenever I kissed Dorothy L'Amour, she just stood there speechless.
Well, naturally. It took her a while to get the knots out of her pucker.
Yeah, I got to quit using that lumpy alum, yes.
Speaking of lump... Speaking of love scenes, did you get a load of my kisses with Joan Fontaine? Have you ever seen lips operate like that?
Not since the last time I gave Lassie a sticky tootsie roll.
Dorothy are still sharing dressing rooms. I don't know. You know, Robin, I'm really surprised that Dottie L'Amour still makes pictures with you, the way you handle her in those so-called romantic interludes.
What do you mean? My love scenes are very tender.
Tender, yes. All I know is every time you get ready to shoot a kissing scene, the director hollers, "Light, camera, muzzle!"
Thank you. Can I help it if she's my favorite kind of red heart? I can.
I'll see you in the library.
Despite years of faithful brushing, despite any other toothpaste you've tried, see if your teeth...
For me, there's you. If a flame is to grow, there must be a glow to open each door. There's a key. I need you, I know. I can't let you go. Your touch means too much to me. Two lips must insist on two more to be kissed, or they'll never know what love can do. To each his own, I've found my own.
That was the father of our country singing to each his groan. And now, dear customers, I want... Well, Miss Vera Vague, look at that! Hello! Well, how are you, Miss Vague?
Well, Mr. Hope, I'm really flying tonight.
Yeah. Well, you've landed now. Turn off your ignition.
You dear boy. Ideas that come out of your head are good and fresh. They're so vacuum packed.
Getty now, how do you like San Francisco, Miss Vague?
Oh, I'm just thrilled to be here, Mr. Hope. It's a wonderful city, and all those handsome legionnaires running around the streets loose.
Oh, they're not loose, Miss Vague. They just walk that way.
You know something? I'm here for the convention, Mr. Hope. You know I belong to the Women's Auxiliary of the American Legion, though.
Really? I didn't know they put veterans of the Civil War.
Well, they don't usually, Mr. Hope, but why don't you try, anyway?
Really? So you're attending the Women's Auxiliary here, the Legion,
yes,
huh?
Yes, I am, indeed. I think it's time for women to sit in their proper place in this world.
Well, what if the men stage an uprising?
They won't be able to rise. Where do you think the women are sitting?
Well, Miss Vague, all the legionnaires here are men. There must be 20,000 here. I think you'd feel out of place, like a fish out of water.
I'm a happy little haddock, aren't I? You know, Miss Vague, I don't mind the legionnaires having fun, but why do they have to tease me on the street?
Well, you know, Miss Vague, the boys like a little horseplay.
Call you a big jerk. No offense. You know, I don't care. The legionnaires are simply wonderful.
They are.
I just love those boys. They look so tall and straight in their uniforms. I was out last night with a cute one in a white uniform.
White uniform, Miss Vague. It isn't the legionnaires who wear the white uniform.
Well, I don't know about those things, but he sure swept me off my feet.
Oh, that's fine. Well, wait a minute. I want you to meet Mr. Crosby, someone more your age. Or B.C. Meet really B.C.
How do you do, Miss Vague? You're the president of the Milpitas Bob Hope and Social Security Club, aren't you?
Oh, yes.
The new Gonzaga writer.
I shall.
Thank you.
You know, Mr. Crosby, your voice really sends me.
My voice sends you?
Yes, it does. But the rest of you makes me want to stay.
Go away.
Tony, how do you get that beautiful resonance into your voice, Mr. Crosby?
Well, I have an ellipticated esophagus.
Oh, I didn't know. Would it help if I got you a cushion?
Oh, she must think we're a couple of the older legionnaires, huh?
I should be. You know, today I saw a couple of the older boys sitting on a park bench near the Civic Auditorium. They must have been veterans of the French-Indian War.
Millis.
What is it, Lester?
This park bench is certainly getting the place to be. Look at all those snappy-looking chicks going by.
Yeah. Toss out some more birdseed, Lester.
What a convention. You know, we got to slow down, Lillis. You know what happened to us yesterday.
Yes, almost got bowled over by a hit-and-run turtle.
Yeah, I sure had a shell fall. Say, you must remember back to the convention when we took out Queenie from that burlesque show.
Oh, you better do. Drank hard cider out of her high button shoe.
Yep, had to finger the buttonholes like a flute.
Mademoiselle,
I may be old, but I can hold my own.
Well, this is no time to be holding them. Put them back in your mouth and let's go.
Well, let's hobble over to the burlesque house and see her again.
Good
huh?
idea, yeah. Listen to that, Lester. Just listen to that. Them cable cars is getting squeaker every day.
That ain't no cable car. That's me. Well, here we are at the stage door. Let's go in.
Hey, wait a minute. Not so fast. I'm the stage door guard. What do you guys want?
What do we want? You know.
Yeah, you know.
Sorry, I'm all out of toothpicks.
Hey, mister, I want me a date with that Queenie. How about it?
Of course, you have a note from your parents.
We'd like to see Queenie, the gal with the lubricated sacroiliac.
Aren't you a little old for this sort of thing?
We're here, ain't we?
Okay. Oh, Queenie?
Yes, Mr. Doorman.
There's a couple of...
I'll be right down.
Never needs a description.
Well, hello.
Oh, hello.
Are they excavating around here?
Miss LaSmooch, I want a date with you tonight.
No, I want a date.
I want it.
Now, boys, don't fight. You get adrenaline all over the floor.
Well, let's hold a contest to see who feels the youngest.
Okay, I'll show you how fry I am. You watch me do a leapfrog right over that mailbox.
You're going to do a leapfrog right over that mailbox?
Yep, right over it. Here it goes.
Be careful.
Well, just send me to the dead letter office.
Bing, good luck on your new show, October the 16th. You know, folks, we've kidded a lot tonight about the veterans attending the American Legion Convention here in San Francisco, but actually, at least 95% of the activity at these conventions is dedicated to the very serious business of looking out for the veterans' welfare. The government also takes an active interest in the welfare of its veterans through an organization headed by a man whose qualifications certainly cannot be denied. A great general, a simple, friendly man, and the leader of the 12th Army Group in the European Theater of Operations. This man is with us tonight. He is Administrator of Veterans Affairs for the United States Government, General Omar Bradley.
Thank you, Bob. Must give you and Bing and your colleagues in show business great satisfaction to know how much the veterans and the men still in the armed forces realize and appreciate the large part entertainment plays in the vast organization known as USO. For the past 3 years, USO has provided men and the services with a home away from home. Today, USO is continuing to provide entertainment through its camp shows to the personnel of our armed forces. USO also supplies entertainment to patients in the 115 Veterans Administration hospitals and all military and naval hospitals. USO has a gigantic task. It is making an appeal for funds it must have to pay part of the American people's debt to our fighting men. USO is what the U.S. owes the GI. During the month of October, the USO must raise $19 million to continue its work. When the appeal is made to each of you, please remember that there are still thousands upon thousands of men in our occupation forces and in our hospitals who still rely on USO.
That's right, folks. And please remember, too, that this war isn't over until every hospitalized veteran is on his way home. Thank you, General Bradley. Good night, folks.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Bing Crosby has been Bob's guest on the show before, and he will a number of times in the future. If you want to hear Bing's mini bio, you can go back in the archives of the podcast to July 31st, 2019, and listen to the end of that podcast. An interesting tidbit about Bing Crosby and Bob Hope is that in spite of all the movies they made together and appearances on each other's shows and joint appearances for charity and in golf tournaments and all the kidding around that they did, they were not really close friends in their personal lives. I mean, they got along fine, but they didn't, you know, hang out at each other's houses or things like that. They weren't, in real life, the best buddies that the movies made them out to be. But they did provide a lot of laughs and good times for people when they were together. And for that, we're grateful. Please send your questions and comments to host@classiccomedyotr.com. Come back next Wednesday for another episode of The Pepsodent Show starring Bob Hope. And check in on Thursday for the last installment of Mr. and Mrs. Blandings. Please go to our website, classiccomedyotr.com, and support our show on a one-time basis by clicking on the PayPal donate button on the right side of the screen, or on a monthly basis by clicking on the Become a Patron button. Your support of the show is necessary and greatly appreciated. Until we meet again, in the words of Audrey Hepburn, I love people who make me laugh. I honestly think it's the thing I like most. To laugh, it cures a multitude of ills. It's probably the most important thing in a person.